We thank you. We thank you for speaking to us. We thank you for revealing yourself to us in creation, in providence, in the Holy Scriptures, and most clearly in your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant us, Lord, a deep desire for your Word. Help us to taste more and more of your grace through your Son. Help us not to refuse the one who speaks to us in the Scriptures, even in this hour. Open our ears by your Spirit, we pray. And open our will that we may be eager to please you. We ask these things through our great mediator and high priest, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians 3, 14 through 19, page 618. Ephesians 3, 14 through 19, page 618. Let us hear God's Word. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And thus we end this reading of God's holy word. If your memory is working, you remember that I've already preached on this passage of Scripture. And when I prepared to preach this paragraph in verses 14 through 21 some weeks ago, as I was reading it in my study on Tuesday morning, that's when I usually begin preparing for Sunday morning sermon, verses 18 and 19a slapped my heart in the face. And I don't think I've ever read these two verses without having my heart slapped in the face and awakened. You know, you can read some passages of Scripture and you pass them by and you don't remember a whole lot. But when you come to these two verses, if you pass them by and don't think about them very much, your heart is very cold. You're not in tune with the Lord, as we all are not sometimes. And so, as I read them that Tuesday morning, I wanted to pause and just soak up those two verses. And I wanted to take those verses and teach myself and have the Holy Spirit teach me the love of Christ as I have never known it before. And I wanted to teach you, in turn, the love of Christ as you had never known it before. But I decided it would be better to wait on those two verses and continue in the series and preach the whole paragraph that Lord's Day, which I did. But I wanted to save these two for some other occasion. Verses 18 and 19a. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, which surpasses knowledge. And remember, when I preached on that, I mentioned to you, how do you know something that surpasses knowledge? If you remember, I said that. And so I decided to save those two verses. The love of the Lord is something I live with every day. It's something you live with every day as a child of God. It is something we oftentimes take for granted. I began to wonder again, how can I grasp this great love of Christ for me? And how can I preach that to God's people? Hoping I would have another time to do that, and planning on doing it later, I had been offered the opportunity, to which I said yes, to speak to the presbytery at its last meeting on November 15th, which was a week ago yesterday. But I also decided, with other things on my plate as that Saturday approached, that I didn't have time to do it then either. But then Thanksgiving was looming, and here we are the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and this idea was still in my head, and I thought, oh wow, what an opportunity. What greater thing could we give thanks for than the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord? I can think of nothing greater for which we could thank the Lord. To understand the love of God and to be able to return it to Him with thanksgiving should be uppermost in our minds. Well, here we are at this great American holiday. Some other nations have a Thanksgiving Day as well, of course. We're not the only ones. But it is a great tradition in America that our presidents have cherished, that they have led us in observing. Thanksgiving Day is not the Lord's Day. It's not a holy day, but it is a great American holiday. And it is a wonderful reminder to look up and thank God. We are not pagans. If you've noticed the pagans at Thanksgiving, they say, well, what are we thankful for? But they don't designate to whom they give thanks. Have you ever noticed that? Here's a list of things I'm thankful for. But what about the one to whom we are thankful? Well, we're Christians, and we thank our God. He's the one we give thanks to, and we're not ashamed. We're not ashamed to thank this great God. Especially this year, we can thank Him for His love, as is taught in God's Word. So today, I'm going to urge you to thank God for His love. First of all, I want to urge you to perceive the love of God for you. Perceive it. Understand it. Know it. Realize it. And secondly, I want to encourage you to be thankful for the love of God. Perceive it, and then be thankful for it. First of all, then, perceive the love of God for you. Now, I want to make a comparison here. A few weeks ago, I think it was, my wife printed out a copy of an article and gave it to me to read. And this was an article about a heart transplant recipient who met up with the donor parents of his new heart. Now, as you know, I'm a heart transplant patient. And when you go into the heart transplant program, you are told that the donors are anonymous, and you are anonymous to the donors. And you're told that you are urged to write a note of thanks to the donors anonymously. and an intermediary will deliver that letter to them for you. And then the donors have an opportunity to respond to you if they want. And I did write to the donors of the 17-year-old young man whose heart was given to me. And I did it with fear and trembling, for fear that they would contact me, actually. Because I knew how emotional it would be. And I knew it would be beyond my ability to deal with. But you're so thankful, of course, you want to do that. Well, my donors did not contact me back. So, my wife gave me this article about that, and I put it on the counter, and I didn't want to read it, and it lay there for a little while. And I picked it up one day to read it, and I knew what was going to happen when I read it. But nevertheless, I read it. But yes, when I got to the point of the article where, in this case, the recipient of the heart did meet the donor parents, the tears began to well up. And I could not stop them. And I could not stop them from rolling down my cheeks. You can hardly explain when someone has given you life. And I was just reading. I wasn't experiencing that firsthand. You're touched so deeply that it's impossible to express it in words. When you go through this whole process and you're alive again, you can barely explain it to other people. But that's almost nothing in comparison to the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, who gives us everlasting life. You see. The Apostle Paul says that the Ephesian Christians and that you Christians may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. That's what I want for you and for myself. To know this love. It is difficult for us to know because we're sinful people. That's the only thing that obscures our view. But God is so gracious that He opens up our minds to see a glimpse of it in this life. It is so wide that you can never reach the edge of it. It is so long that you can never get to the end of it. It is so deep that you can't go to the bottom of it. It is so high that you're not able to reach the top. It is so wonderful that you will never experience it all in this life. You'll spend eternity enraptured in the love of God. Amen. Now let's look at some other scripture, and it's a lot. So I'll try to mention the texts two times so that you can write them down if you want to, or at least have a chance to. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 3:16. God's love is so great that He gave up His only Son. Now, you've known people who've lost their children. Maybe some of you have. To bury a child has to be one of the most difficult tasks in this life. But there's always this. God had one son, and He gave him up. And He gave him up for lost sinners. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 5:8. God did not wait for you to clean up your act. He knows you couldn't. God loves sinners. It was while we were yet sinners that Christ died for us. We can all understand being kind to someone who's kind to us. We were not kind to God. Jesus said in John 15:13, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." John 15:13. And we have heard stories or known people who have done heroic acts of bravery to save the life of another person. Soldiers do this. Police officers do this. Firemen do this. Common people do this. But it's exceptional, isn't it? No greater love than this. Jesus Christ gave His life for sinners. We read about God's love in 1 John 4:9-10. "In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might be saved through Him, that we might live through Him, excuse me. And this is love, not that we love God, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." 1 John 4:9-10. It is not that we loved God and said, "God, please send someone here to save us." God's love for us is unsolicited. He initiated it. He came down to earth to show us. His Spirit convicted us of our sin and need of Jesus Christ. God came to us before we went to Him. And that is love.
Yes, sir.
And then there's Galatians 2:20. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Galatians 2:20. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Galatians 2:20. Not only did Christ give Himself for you, Christian, He lives in you. And remember this about the love of God. The love of God cannot be separated from you. There is nothing that can separate God's love from you. Romans 8:35-39. "What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter.' Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, 35-39. The love of God for you is so great that it will never be removed from you. Nothing can take it away. And so, I urge you to perceive, notice, recognize the love of God for you. You may remember hearing this story of Billy Graham about a well-known neo-Orthodox German theologian, Karl Barth. I don't recommend Karl Barth as someone whose writings you should read, but I recommend this quote. Billy Graham told how the world-famous theologian Karl Barth was asked, "In all of your theological studies, what is the greatest truth that you have ever discovered?" And Dr. Karl Barth replied, "Jesus loves me. This I know." For the Bible tells you so. Horatius Bonar wrote about the love of God in his great hymn, and he said, "O love of God, how strong and true, eternal and yet ever new, uncomprehended and unbought, beyond all knowledge and all thought. O love of God, how deep and great, far deeper than man's deepest hate, self-fed, self-kindled, like the light, changeless, eternal, infinite. We read thee best in Him who came to bear for us the cross of shame. We read thee in the earth below, in seas that swell and streams that flow." My Christian friends, I want you and me to know the love of God. I want you to know the love of Christ personally. I want you to know it experientially. I want you to know it so that it moves you. I want you to know that love so that you think of it every day and marvel at the love of God. I want you to perceive the love of God in Christ Jesus your Lord with every fiber of your being. Secondly, be thankful for that love. Know it and then be thankful for it. Surely, as you have contemplated the love of God, surely it comes to your mind, how can I say thanks to Him? How can I thank my God for the great love He's given me, which I don't even deserve? And in order to answer that question, of course, we must turn to the Word of God. The Lord Himself tells us something that you might be surprised at and that I am surprised at when I think about it. And that is, the relationship between love and, you're not going to believe this, the relationship between love and God's commandments. Isn't that a surprise? Listen to the Westminster Shorter Catechism number 44. What is the sum of the Ten Commandments? The sum of the Ten Commandments is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all our mind, and our neighbors as ourselves. What a surprise, huh? The Ten Commandments teach us to love. We are prone to think of the commandments over here and love over here. Perish that thought. See? The Lord Jesus Christ Himself said in Matthew 22:37-40, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Matthew 22:37-40. The relationship between the law of God and love goes unrecognized by so many Christians. Does it not? This can be broken down further. You have the first four commandments, which teach us how to love God, and the last six, which teach us how to love our fellow man. And so again, turning to our larger catechism, number 102. What is the sum of the four commandments which contain our duty to God? The sum of the four commandments which contain our duty to God is to love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our strength and with all our might. Do you want to love God? Do you want to show Him your thanks? Study the commandments. Study their implications. Those four great words from God as to how to love Him. They're familiar to you. Say thanks by obeying Him. Larger Catechism, number 122, asks, what is the sum of the six commandments which contain our duty to man? The sum of the six commandments which contain our duty to man is to love our neighbor as ourselves and to do to others what we'd have them do to us. You want Scripture? Here's Scripture. Deuteronomy 11:1. "Therefore you shall love the Lord your God and keep His charge, His statutes, His judgments, and His commandments always." Deuteronomy 11:1. You want to love God? Obey Him. In John 14:15, our Savior said, "If you love Me, feel really good about yourself." No. "If you love Me," John 14:15, "keep My commandments." You love God by keeping His commandments. So if you are overwhelmed by the love of God, as I am, and if you wonder how to show Him your thanksgiving, He has told you how. But there's only one little problem. You and I are weak and poor sinners. We cannot do this on our own. We cannot please God in our own strength. And so Romans 8:7-8 says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Romans 8:7-8. We must be converted. We must have the Spirit. We can only obey in the strength of the Holy Spirit of God. Remember Ezekiel 36:27? "I will put My Spirit within you and cause you to walk in My statutes." Cause you to walk in My statutes. "And you will keep My judgments and do them." Ezekiel 36:27. When we have the Spirit, then the fruit of the Spirit is produced in us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We know God has told us that we cannot obey Him in our own strength, but God has graciously given us the Spirit. That means you must pray to God a lot. That means you must discipline yourself in the power of the Spirit to do this. It requires a lot of thought. It requires a lot of prayer to God. You know, I hope I've learned something this week. From now on, when I say pray, I hope I always remember to say, to add to God. There's a lot of prayer going on these days. But pray to God. A lot. And I don't mean you have to sit there for an hour or kneel for an hour. But a lot of times during your days. Show your thanks for the love of God. Francis Havergal wrote a hymn called Thy Life Was Given For Me. Verse 5 goes this way. Oh, let my life be given, my years for Thee be spent, world's fetters all be riven, and joy with suffering blent. Thou gavest Thyself for me. I give myself to Thee. By the power of the Holy Spirit, give yourself to the Lord. Remember Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies living sacrifice to God. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Romans 12:1. So, now I hope that you understand the love of God better. I hope that you feel His love more deeply. I hope and pray to God that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length, depth and height of the love of Christ for your soul. I trust that you will think about the love of God more frequently. I hope you will be able to remember that this special love of God is known only to His people. The 11th century hymn, Jesus the Very Thought of Thee, says, but what to those who find all this, nor tongue nor pen can show the love of Jesus, what it is. None but His loved ones know. If you are not repenting of His sins, if you are not trusting in Christ, you don't know His love. May God give you grace to do that. But at this Thanksgiving, I urge all of God's people to thank God for His boundless, gracious, unselfish love. Thank Him by living for Him and not for yourself. The Apostle John said it well in 1 John 2:5. That's 1 John 2:5. But whoever keeps His word, truly, the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. Amen and amen. Let us pray.